Hi, today is April 18th, 2015. This is Mobile Views Podcast number 114. I'm Todd Ogasso with my good friend John Westfall. And today we're going to just rip through a whole bunch of things really quickly and then come back to them in weeks to come because we've got a little bit of a time constraint. And mostly I want to hear what John has to say about his Apple Watch pre-order since I did not do that. Okay, so a couple of things I wanted
You let me down, man. You let me down. You were supposed to get one too. You're going to be in this together.
So let's see. A couple of things that have gone on. We haven't had a podcast in a couple of weeks for various and sundry reasons. But in any case, Microsoft Office Lens is now available to iPhone and Android. It does scanning and other kinds of camera to OneNote kind of stuff. I played with it a little. Looks okay, but more on that later. Adobe Slate for iOS, honestly, I don't even remember what it is now. I think it's like a story creation thing, but it was a couple of weeks ago. We'll come back to that later. Apps runtime for Chrome, I'm kind of interested in this because it's supposed to allow you to run, I believe, Android apps in like Chrome OS or in a Chrome browser. That'll be kind of interesting. You can't do it now.
I thought we've been hearing about that promise for about 5 years now. Mm. Ever since there's been Android and Chrome, it's been, this is going to be the thing that lets you merge over from one to the other and vice versa.
Right. Well, you know,
it's
like Microsoft's Windows Mobile strategy. You know, it's a work in progress.
That is very true.
And the final thing I wanted to mention that we'll come back to later, and by later I mean another podcast, is the truly awful new user interface for Google's otherwise great Snapseed photography app, which I really like the app. I hate the new UI. I'll rant about this later because today I really want to hear about John's pre-order experience. Okay, so go through the gory details for me since I did not do any of this.
You know what? This was by and large the easiest pre-order I have ever had with Apple.
Oh, now I see you're disappointing me.
I woke up at 10 to 2 a.m. so 1:50 because it's 2 a.m. my time where would be midnight Pacific.
Right.
And I immediately started my usual regimen of opening. I didn't go to my computer this time. I thought, you know, they keep telling me that it's better to do it through the app than it is to do through the website.
Okay.
So I went on. Although in my iPhone, I did have the website open in one tab in Safari, so I could see when it came back up live. Because if it was going to come up live first, I was going to use that instead of the store app. So I go on Twitter about, you know, 5 till. I'm looking, doing a search for Apple Watch, see if anyone's saying it's open. It's open because that's usually how I know. You know, because I'm obsessively cycling through all three windows looking for which one will work first. And then about 1:59 or so, I start to see the, hey, I just got in, I can order, etc. So I switch over to the app, and the app lets me look at my favorites, where I had pinned two or three Apple Watches before, because I wasn't sure which models I was exactly going to get. And I realized that the leather band, the leather strap band, not the classic, but the black magnetic leather loop, is already showing 4 to 6 weeks for ship time.
Wow.
And I think that was from the beginning, because there were rumors earlier in the week that that was going to be the case. A German site had basically leaked some screenshots that showed it already at 4 to 6 weeks. So from the beginning, Apple might not have had that one. But the sport bands were still showing 4:24 to 5:08, which was the ship window at launch.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly added them to my cart. And I first of all couldn't figure out how to add them to my cart because there was no add to cart button. So I just went in, placed one order, and then went back and placed the other order. And I got for my wife the 38 millimeter aluminum with the green sport band.
Okay.
And for myself, I ended up getting the 42 millimeter stainless steel.
Ooh.
Mostly because I know I tend to beat up things on my wrist. I tend to be large and oafish and walk through doors and walk into things. So I sat here the week before going, you know, if I get a scratch on my brand new Apple Watch, I'm going to be obsessively angry about it. And is it worth $200 more for me to not be so obsessively angry?
You have a point there.
And I came to the conclusion that if I was sitting there staring at my Apple Watch with a huge gouge in it, I would wish I could just hand someone $200 and it would be magically fixed. So I went for the stainless steel for that reason alone, but got the black sport band.
Okay.
I finished the entire pre-order process at about 2:04 a.m., so 4 minutes past the drop time. And within a couple of minutes, I had found that one of the watches that I'd ordered had already shipped to the 4 to 6 weeks, and so I stayed up for another 20 minutes or so just kind of checking and watching the ship time slip. And I know that one of our former MVP friends, Darius Way, down in Australia, was ordering at the same time. He said that he had a little bit of a snafu with his shipping address, and it took him another minute, and in that minute, from 4 after to 5 after the hour, he slipped to 4 to 6 weeks instead of the 4:24 to 5:08. So this thing went fast through initial shipment, and by the time I woke up at 8 a.m. in the morning, it had all everything basically had slipped.
So essentially, within several minutes of starting to be available, ship time slipped by weeks.
Yes, and I will say, they were right. The Apple Store app on iOS was a much better experience, because after I finished my order on there, I went over to Safari and refreshed the page, and it was still showing the "We'll be right back" mantra for the actual store.apple.com page.
Yeah, I think I heard on one of the maybe it was MacBreak Weekly podcast that it took about 40-45 minutes before the web page store actually showed up.
Yeah, so I think in the future, we now know that for iPhones, your carrier's store probably is the best bet. But yeah, for everything else, the Apple Store on iOS is probably the better bet than using the website.
That's kind of interesting. And in a way, you know, it's I won't say it's nice, but at least if you're an existing customer, you get a little bit of upper hand.
Yes, because you already have all your address information, your right. bill-to information, your credit card information,
and an app.
All right there. And the app, yes.
And, the app.
And a device to use the app on.
Right. Okay, so now that you've actually made the pre-order, did you have any buyer's remorse immediately afterward?
I had a little bit of buyer's shock looking at how much I spent.
On two watches.
On two watches.
Yeah.
I mean, so if I look at the orders right now, the green sport band, I got the Apple Care Plus,
right?
Because that was $49 extra, but that covers two incidents of damage.
Right.
And I don't think my wife's particularly hard on it, but I figure if it gets damaged, especially with it being this pseudo water resistant. Mm-hmm. So Apple says don't take it in the shower, don't get water on it, but yet the Wall Street Journal review had it in the shower and all this other stuff. So
right.
With that kind of iffiness, her total came out to $425.86 with tax, and my total came out to my AppleCare was $69 instead of $49, and mine came out to $714 with tax. So you add those together, and that's a little.
You get a MacBook Air for that much.
I could get a MacBook Air for that much, but I already have a MacBook Air, so I'm good. And I have my beast of a MacBook Pro that I bought last month.
Right,
so
the new
I am
one.
Heavy into Apple this month.
Okay, literally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Heavy, yeah. My credit card has seen a lot of Apple purchases.
Okay. Okay, now, what about the sales numbers that we've been seeing? So, 1 million U.S. and a couple of, 2 million or so for worldwide. People are saying 5 million before launch is...
Well, so it's all a matter of comparison here. You've got 1 million U.S. on the launch day. That was from one analyst.
Yeah.
Or actually...
Yeah, these aren't official numbers from Apple.
Yeah, Apple will never give you the official numbers. Tim Cook said it was great.
Yeah.
Whatever. Apparently, millions is great.
Millions is always great.
Tens of hundreds would be great for me. But millions is probably great. 1 million on the launch day and 2.3 million global pre-orders as of a couple days ago for the last week. Now, yeah, I'm sure would want more. And that is a fraction of how many iPhone owners there are out there. But the comparison that I want to make to this is for Android Wear. Android Wear encompasses a number of different watches that are all using Android Wear components. And in 2014, they shipped about 720,000 units. So this is including the Motorola 360.
The whole year.
The whole year, 720K.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I'm not necessarily ready to say that that means that the Apple Watch is better than Android Wear. I believe that that just means that Apple users are more likely to buy an accessory, an expensive accessory, than Android users are.
Right. By the way, the other way to think, I was just thinking about this. I think that the global pre-orders, which is a little over 2 million, I think that's like almost the same number of all Windows phones sold last year.
Yeah, that's probably close, sadly.
Yeah, so you know, another way to look at that number is a measure of success or not. And they did that in a weekend.
You know, before this launched, there were the low end of estimates that I saw on, I guess this was last fall and into the winter. You had some analysts going, we don't understand. And I'll talk for in a moment about my rant about analysts and we don't understand the smartwatch thing. But we had some that were saying, you know, there's really only about 60 million people that would even be interested in this in the U.S. Or in the world. And, you know, there were a few CEOs, tech CEOs at the time that made a joke, well, I wish I had a product that 60 million people were interested in. So definitely I think we're on track to show that they were pretty conservative in their interested, because interest does not equate to order, and we've already got potentially 2.3 to 3 million people who have ordered it before it gets into the hand of regular users, before your chips. Friend has it and you can go look at it and play with it, or you can go to the store and see it easily, etc.
Right. And we should note that celebrities and select Apple people and folks like that already have the watch in hand. So people are using it. It's just not regular folks for the most part.
And they have the watch in hand with things that we haven't seen yet. So yesterday, the big news swirling around was that there were custom straps that Johnny Ive was showing off in Milan at some fashion event.
Yeah, like a red strap
custom,
or something.
Yeah, custom sports straps. So yeah. I don't think we've seen even a tiny bit of what Apple has available and potentially will be releasing for random things over the next couple of months.
Right.
We definitely have seen quite a bit of adoption in apps. It seems every other day a major app is announcing that they have Apple Watch support. A lot of the automation apps are doing that, which I think is a perfect marriage of, here's a device where you can't do a lot of things on the device, but if I can kick off a complex action on my phone, that's just as good to me as if I'm kicking it off on the watch.
Okay, now speaking of apps, John Gruber of Daring Fireball, who's a very well-known Apple commentator, and people say Apple Insider, even though he doesn't work for Apple, said, I think, I didn't listen to the podcast, but apparently 2 hours into some podcast discussing Apple Watch, he goes on a rant about, you know, how bad the apps are. Have you been hearing that?
The thing I've been seeing is that the glances don't update in the background. So when you're looking at glances, if they need new, fresh data, they have to get it from the watch.
Well, that's known,
phone,
right?
I mean, take a little while. Yeah, that's known.
Yeah.
And there's no real native apps yet. Apple keeps saying later this year there will be apps that can do much more on their own without needing the phone interface. But right now, I think it's that lag that goes from the watch to the phone. My opinion is really, I can deal with lag as long as I have stability. And it sounds like, I haven't heard anyone say that they've had problems with disconnects or problems with notifications not coming through. And that's definitely the number one problem I have with my Pebble, is that notifications just, some days they work and other days they don't, even though Pebble has gone through a number of iterations to make that more reliable.
Okay.
Now, if I want to in the mornings, I could sit there and play with it for 5 minutes and I will get them reliably working, but I shouldn't have to do that every morning.
Okay, speaking of alternative smartwatches, then what about the Moto 360? I think it dropped to something like $180 or so on Amazon this past week, I think, when the Apple Watch came out.
Yes, the very same day the Apple Watch drops, Amazon decides to drop their price on the Moto 360, which I believe is probably the number two smartwatch out there, kind of tied with the Pebble family.
Yeah.
And that is interesting. And we still have rumors that Android Wear will be coming to Apple and coming to iOS, and these watches will eventually be able to interface. And I know that I had not thought about the Moto 360 at all, but as a smartwatch aficionado, if I were to see myself ever not wanting to wear my Apple Watch every day, I would probably pick up a Moto 360 at that price point if I could play with it on my iPhone.
Yeah, and you know, I do have an Android phone. You know, I have two phones. It's an old one. It's a Nexus 4, so it may not be fully supported by the Moto, especially since it's not a Motorola device. But at $180, you know, I'm more likely to pick it up than $400 and some odd dollars it would cost me for an Apple Watch. Less than half the price, literally.
Yep. And so that's kind of the news wrap-up, and then I can talk a little bit about my rant about some of the reviewers.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. We have a few minutes on that.
Oh, yeah. So I've been watching a lot of coverage on the Apple Watch just because, well, I invested a good chunk of change in them, so I'd like to know what I'm going to hopefully be seeing this next Friday. And one of the things that really struck me as bizarre was a number of reviews, and these are the big-name reviews out there, basically boiled down to, it's the best smartwatch out there, but don't buy one.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those, and I didn't get it. Basically, they're saying they're all bad?
Well, yeah. I mean, what is the implication there? The implication there is if this is the best of this class,
but they're all
and
crap.
You shouldn't buy it, then yeah. And so that kind of bugged me, and no one seemed to be picking up on that. And then I watched The Verge's video review, which is an excellent 10-minute-long review by the editor-in-chief of The Verge, Nile Patel. And he actually says, at about the 10-minute mark, he has the quote, "I'm not convinced anyone actually needs a smartwatch yet, and there's nothing about the Apple Watch that has changed my mind." Which, in my mind, sums up everything I've been seeing quite nicely. Most tech reviewers, especially the ones that never used a watch regularly kind of before the age of cell phones,
right,
or when they got cell phones, they were very happy to ditch their watch, are just extremely perplexed why anyone would want a smartwatch. So you could show them the best smartwatch in the world, and they're still going to say, it's great, but don't buy it, because they basically don't feel there's a need or a desire for this sort of technology.
Well, you know, I'm reminded of Harlan Ellison's, one of Harlan Ellison's pithy comments. I'm not sure I can say this on a G-rated program, but basically, I think it was Harlan Ellison, you know, his opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one.
Yeah. That is very true. It's just an interesting thing as someone who has enjoyed the concept of a smartwatch for a long time and realizing fully that this is not everyone's desired object.
Okay, and thank
you
for
not... It amazes me.
I was just going to say thank you for not mentioning my my late great spot watch.
I knew you would do it on your own. I was about to bring it up, and then I figured I would wait until...
okay.
Later, but.
Now, having said that and insulted a whole bunch of analysts, I will say this about myself. I've gotten a number of things wrong, including the original iPod. I believe what I said to nobody in particular. Who the heck's going to pay $499 for an iPod? Okay, that was quote number one. Quote number two that I said when the original Apple phone iPhone came out, I said, "What does Apple know about making a phone?" So I don't have a great track record myself about evaluating new, maybe not new categories, but different categories of the of a product line. So I will give all of these analysts that are negative a pass now, because I have done that myself more than once, and I have been incredibly wrong.
I think that's kind of that might be a little bit of it, but there's also so another thing that I kind of think I see in the analyst's view right now is, let's be honest, when Apple decides to take over an industry, or at least try to take over an industry, whether that be phones or tablets or whatever it might be, it generally is not a good thing for competition for other players.
Yeah, this is really
other players don't produce very good stuff because they're either trying to have a very low price point, so they produce crap like some of the Android tablets out there, or they produce something that is on par, but they don't sell enough of them to actually make it worthwhile to keep producing because they're fighting Apple on it. And I think some of our friends who are hardcore analysts have gotten very annoyed at Apple doing this because, yes, they produce great products, but they're stifling a lot of other great products that might come out. So I almost think in this case, some analysts were looking at the smartphone or the smartwatch market and saying, look, we're just starting to emerge some really great products. The Pebble line was really the first one to show that people were interested in smartwatches. The Moto 360 looks really cool, and the people like it. And why does Apple have to come in and throw their weight around here? We don't want you in here yet because we're going to see other things.
We're not ready for you.
We're not ready for you, or we just are kind of like, do you have to come in here too? Do you have to ruin our party, you know, over here as well?
Well, you know,
I think that might be a little bit of it.
Yeah, and you know, I look at it slightly differently, and that's, you guys all had your chance. Now it's over.
Apple, and so one of my friends, or former MVP friend of ours, had posted something about how he was very frustrated that people believe Apple created the touchscreen, and that, you know, Apple was the one that did this and that, and he's just kind of angry that Apple in general gets these, the billing as the first one to do something. And it's not that they're the first, they just strive to be the best by their own admission. That is kind of their belief system. And I said, well, you can't fault Apple for that. What would you have them do? Would you have them immediately launch a product and be like, but you know, we weren't the first here. And actually, that's what they are doing. They are saying we weren't the first. We're just trying to be the best. So what do you want them to say? There are many other products out there just as good as ours. You should maybe check them out too before you just buy ours. I'm pretty sure if Tim Cook were to say that, a lot of Apple shareholders would be pretty angry at him for telling people, go check out our competition. They're pretty good too.
I agree. And of course, everybody says their stuff is the best, even when it's obvious it's not. So,
yeah.
But okay, so now you've got how many weeks of waiting to do since your orders have slipped?
I am hopefully – so, well, my orders have not slipped. They are still showing, according to the Apple Store app, to be shipping between 4/24 and 5/8.
Oh, okay, so there's a possibility you'll get it on launch day. And Apple Apple always under-promises and over-delivers, so I'm pretty sure you'll get it on launch date. That's my guess.
Yeah, so I'm assuming this week I'll see them start shipping out. That's generally what happens in these two-week windows. And hopefully by the next podcast we record, I will have an Apple Watch that I can taunt you with.
Well, you know, I will say this. I had to go to the Apple Store the other day because I had to go get an iPad replaced under warranty. And while I was there waiting for the replacement device to be handed to me, I went over to the glass-cased Apple Watch section, and I admired the watches, and I said, wow, those are expensive. Especially with the really nice bands. I said, okay, maybe I will get that Moto 360. But again, I do have an Android phone, so I have a little bit of advantage in making that different decision. Alrighty, so are you excited? How's your wife feel about it? Is she excited about getting Apple Watch?
I'm excited. She's excited, but a little bit more guarded in that she's not exactly sure how it's going to fit into her work style yet.
Okay.
So she doesn't tend to use as many things as I do that notify you or that you interact with, but we'll see. I think we're both kind of excited to see how it looks and how it acts.
And you can send heartbeats to each other and all kinds of...
Yes, heartbeats and
little drawings,
emojis, little drawings that make very little sense.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, I love when I get notifications right now on my Pebble Watch, and as long as the Apple Watch delivers that with more reliability, I'll consider it a win, because that's what I essentially need in my life, is to know, should I be checking email right now, or can I just let it, you know, sit in the background, nothing major is happening, etc.
Okay. All righty then. Well, today we're going to do a short one, so I will just say one more thing, not to steal Steve Jobs' line, but one more thing I'm going to rant about in the next podcast, perhaps, is there was a one-day sale on Amazon for a couple of Microsoft keyboards, and I picked up the Microsoft Universal Mobile Keyboard, which is a pretty nice keyboard, but it does something, it doesn't pair with more than one device at one time. And I was hoping it would let me pair with my Android phone, since it has an Android setting, and my iPhone, and, you know, sync to whichever one I happen to need at a time. But it turns out you can only pair it one device at a time, regardless of platform, at least from what I can tell. So, but more on that later. But otherwise, I like the keyboard. I've been using it almost daily. So I'll be doing a pictorial review on my website sometime soon. And I'll rant about the things I don't like and praise the things I do like about it sometime. Anyway, it's normally $80, and I think I picked it up for $50 on Amazon during the one-day sale. And that's it for Mobile Views Podcast number 114. Thanks to John, as usual. I'm Todd Ogasawara, and we will talk to you next time.